Hello again, dear friends. This is Pastor Evangelist Robert Venable inviting you to stay tuned for this edition of Let's Talk About Jesus right here on WMAF. And we're glad, I say it every time we come on the air, that we are glad that you've joined us today. But I mean it. I don't want it to become redundant, repetitive, to where you don't take it seriously. I want you to know from our heart, we really, really are so glad for the listening audience to this broadcast right here on WMAF. And we're so glad, and I mean this from my heart too, to be part of the broadcast audience of WMAF right there in North Florida. And we are glad once more for those of you who listen by computer to WMAF as it streams this broadcast and other fine programming all over the United States of America and anywhere in the world that is connected to the World Wide Web. And I mean it from my heart as well. You that are downloaded this particular teaching from our website and are listening because of coming to our website on computer, we're glad that you came and downloaded. And we pray this broadcast will be a very special blessing to you. And if you would like to come to our website, just type in THCOG. That stands for the Holy Church of God, where I have been pastor right here in Tampa, Florida for 37 years. Praise God. We welcome you today. And if you are not a Christian, we pray that you will stay tuned. If you've been listening to this station or you're hearing this because someone sent it to you, please stay tuned today. We're not going to, you know, I couldn't pressure you personally if I tried, but we do pray today that as we study as Christians the Word of God, that you will begin to understand the greatness and the goodness and the graciousness of the God that we serve, and that if you feel Him drawing you, that you will not reject the gentle but powerful Savior who is so mighty to save today. Amen. Never turn Him away. He loves you, gave His life for you, wants you to live in heaven with Him forever. Praise God. What a glorious gospel we declare. We're speaking on the subject, the power of perpetual praying, and we're taking our scripture for this study from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 16. This is under that canopy of prayer that the Lord has led us to put an emphasis on in our church, in our personal lives, and certainly to Christians listening right here on the radio ministry. Again, if you're not a Christian, the greatest prayer that can ever or will ever be prayed is what is called the sinner's prayer. It can be prayed in many various ways. There is no set formula, except it must involve repentance and faith toward God by receiving Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. Praise the Lord. It's been prayed many times, many ways, some long and some short, but it's always been answered in the affirmative. Hallelujah. That means before this broadcast is over today, your destiny, your eternal destiny can change, and your daily personal life can radically, dramatically change, and you can come into this royal family and call this God of the universe your heavenly Father. Hallelujah. What a privilege being reconciled unto God. What power and what glory. Amen. Pray without ceasing. The power of perpetual praying. Praise the Lord. Now, I'm going to tell you something straight up today, and that is that Satan will try to distract us, deceive us, so that he may discourage us from praying all together if he can. Amen. I want to read from 1 Kings chapter 18, verses 41 through 46. It said, "And Elijah said unto Ahab, Get thee up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of an abundance of rain. So Ahab went up to eat and drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel, and he cast himself down upon the earth, put his face between his knees. And he said to his servant, Go now, look up toward the sea. And he went and looked and said, There is nothing. And he said, Go again seven times. And it came to pass at the seventh time that he said, Behold, there ariseth a little cloud out of the sea, like a man's hand. And he said, Go up and say to Ahab, Prepare thy chariot, get thee down, that the rain stop thee not. And it came to pass in the meanwhile that the heaven was black with clouds and wind, and there was a great rain. And Ahab rode and went to Jezreel, and the hand of the Lord was on Elijah, and he girded up his loins and ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. Answered prayer is such a mighty thing, and God's powerful anointing is such a mighty thing, and the joy of seeing 3 years, I'm going to put this in context, 3 years no rain, 3 years of drought as a judgment to try to get a rebellious man's attention to their need to repent and come back to God, and particularly an evil king. And here's a king in his chariot. These 3 years of drought are about to be broken because God said it's time to pray. It's time to pray according to my will and see what I'm going to do. And the man gets so excited. Here's a man with horses and someone is outrunning him on foot. I'm going to tell you, you may be pretty fast, but I've never seen a man and a horse in the Olympics. And if there was such a thing, the man would never win. But this man, under God's inspiration, God's anointing, outran the chariot and horses of the king and ran before him. Praise God. I'm telling you, when God starts coming through and answers prayer, it causes the whole Christian community to be filled with joy. Those who have the answer and those who hear of it are inspired and enthusiastic. And God, through those things, is challenging us to pray without ceasing. Perpetual prayer is going to bring powerful answers, praise God. Now, I want to back up to our study of praying as a priest a couple of weeks ago. And I want to read once again from Exodus chapter 30 and verse 1. And understand that the Bible said that prayer became as incense before the Lord. And there are many confirming scriptures. And listen to Exodus 30 and verse 1. And thou shalt make an altar to burn incense upon of shittim wood, and thou shalt make it. And verse 6 through 8 says, And thou shalt put it before the veil that is by the ark of the testimony, before the mercy seat that is over the testimony where I will meet with thee. And Aaron shall burn thereon sweet incense every morning. And when Aaron lighteth the lamps at the evening, he shall burn incense upon it, a perpetual incense before the Lord throughout your generations. Praise God. A perpetual incense. An incense, one of the aspects of this incense, it is a type of prayer. Praise God. That's why the Bible said, if prayer is like incense, then it's to be done perpetually. So therefore, pray without ceasing. Praise the Lord. In other words, never stop praying. I don't believe it means to verbally necessarily or vocally pray all day long. You couldn't stop to say, pass me the biscuits for praying, and you would starve, friend. Listen, it's talking about an attitude of the heart that is constantly set upon the Lord, and that every waking moment of our life that we are in a relationship with God of trust, to where every need, the very first thought that comes to our mind is to pray. Praise God. And we never let up. We set ourselves to pray unto God constantly. I'm going to read some challenging statements about prayer to you from some great men of prayer. A.J. Gordon said, You can do more than pray after you have prayed, but you can never do more than pray until you have prayed. S.D. Gordon went on to say, The greatest thing anyone can do for God or for man is pray. And Chuck Smith, a contemporary minister of our day, said the most important thing a born-again Christian can do is pray. Imagine that. Sidlow Baxter said men may spurn our appeals, reject our message, oppose our arguments, despise our persons, but they are helpless against our prayers. E.M. Bounds said God shapes the world by prayer. The more prayer there is in the world, the better the world will be, the mightier the forces against evil. I like that. The mightier the forces against evil. Make no mistake about it. When any Christian begins to pray, Satan is affected by that. The powers of darkness recognize the power of prayer. No wonder the enemy would rather us do anything in terms of spiritual activity than to pray. I like what Andrew A. Barnard says. He said, "Oh, brother, pray in spite of Satan. Pray. Spend hours in prayer. Rather neglect friends than not pray. Rather fast and lose breakfast, dinner, tea, and supper, and sleep too, than not pray." We must not talk about prayer. We must pray in right earnest. The Lord is near. He comes softly while the virgins slumber. Praise God. Hudson Taylor said the prayer power has never been tried to its full capacity. If we want to see mighty wonders of divine power and grace wrought in the place of weakness, failure, and disappointment, let us answer God's standing challenge. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. By the way, he was quoting Jeremiah 33 and verse 3. Praise God. Samuel Chadwick went on to say, the one concern of the devil is to keep Christians from praying. He fears nothing from prayerless studies, prayerless work, prayerless religion. He laughs at our toil, mocks at our wisdom, but he trembles when we pray. Robert Murray McShane talks about Jesus praying in intercession for us. He said, if I could hear Christ praying for me in the next room, I would not fear a million enemies. Yet distance makes no difference. He is praying for me. Praise God. Do you know what? You know what Peter was told by Jesus? He said, Peter, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as the wheat. And before you take that just for Simon Peter, because of his peculiar anointing and powerful apostles' anointing, I want you to know that when Jesus said Satan has desired to have you, it was in the plural. Literally, Satan was desiring to have all of you apostles, all of you followers of Jesus, all of you Christians. He hates all of you. He doesn't just pick Peter because of his strong anointing and powerful message, but he selects every Christian because you know why? Every Christian has a strong anointing and a powerful message. That strong anointing is none other than the Holy Spirit, and the powerful message is none other than the gospel that can pluck men and women's souls out of hell's grip and deception. Hallelujah. Amen. And the testimony of Jesus that is upon all of our lips as Christians, not just those who are standing in pulpits or sitting before a microphone here in this studio making a broadcast. I want you to know that every Christian everywhere in the world has a powerful anointing and a message of deliverance to captives. Our very testimony of what Jesus has done for us, praise God, is a powerful tool to extract poor souls that are bound and blind from Satan's strongholds. Praise God. That's why he trembled when he sees the weakest Christian praying in intercession. Satan has desired to have you that he may sift you as the wheat, all of you. But I have prayed for all of you, amen, that your faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. I have prayed for you. You know, the Bible says that Jesus Christ Himself is a great high priest and prays for us in intercession. He is able, the book of Hebrews says, to save them, us, to the uttermost, seeing that He ever liveth to make intercession for them. Praise God. Jesus stands up when we fall down. Jesus stands up in our behalf. He stands as the advocate with the Father, the go-between, and the basis of answered prayer is none other than His scars of suffering in our place. Praise God. The Bible said we don't have a high priest that can't be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but He was tempted in all points as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly before the throne of grace, that we might obtain grace and mercy to help in the time of any need. I tell you, when we come to God's throne in prayer, there's a go-between that presents Himself and His suffering scars and His own blood in the presence of God. Amen. Is the basis for our approach and our God's accessibility, and that He can come through and answer our prayers that are prayed in the name of His Son and our Savior Jesus Christ. You just said, if it's in His will, whatever He asks the Father, we ask the Father in His name, it will be granted unto us. And He said, I told you this so that My joy might be in you, so that your joy might be full. Just wait until the Church of Jesus Christ really learns to pray perpetually. Praise God that once we lay hold of the horns of the altar, we never back off. We never give in. We never give up. You say, preacher, how long am I going to have to pray for this answer? Long as it takes. They that wait upon the Lord, the Bible said, shall renew their strength. They will mount up with wings as eagles. Run and not be weary. Walk and not faint. That word, wait upon the Lord, unique in the Old Covenant, the book of Isaiah. And it literally means to bind together by twisting. That means that God and man have come into a relationship through prayer. Praise God. This is not inactivity waiting. This is active pursuing the answer by consistently standing in the presence of God. Hallelujah. This is that fervent prayer of importunity that God said is going to have great results. They that wait upon the Lord bind together by twisting. Amen. They that get so wrapped up in faith in God that God gets wrapped up in His covenant love and covenant integrity. Amen. I like that old song. It's not a theological breakthrough verse by any means, but it simply says that I'm wrapped up, tied up, tangled all up in Jesus. Maybe that's pretty descriptive of waiting upon the Lord. We have committed ourselves to trusting God, and we're coming to Him in consistent, perpetual prayer for the needs that the devil says they'll never be answered. This person will never come to Christ. That situation will never change. That sickness is beyond God's reach. That circumstance is beyond God's power to handle. He's a liar, and He's the father of it. God's Word is true. He would like nothing more today for me to throw in the towel, throw up my hands, and back off of praying for revival, and just become one of those pastors who is professional in my approach to what I do for God. Give up on revival. Give up on seeing certain loved ones come in. They're so obstinate, headstrong, hard-headed, and stubborn. Give up on certain circumstances in my own life and in the church world. Just give up and just literally go in my room and sit in the gloom and ponder doom. I refuse to do that when I have the option of prayer. Praise God. I believe somewhere God is up to something big after we pray. And the key is to keep on praying and not give up. Amen. And that is the challenge today from the Word of God. I like what someone said. There's not even a name here to give the credit to. I wish I could take credit for it because I love it so much. But on persevering prayer, someone said, and I quote, I look at a stone cutter hammering away at a rock 100 times without so much as a crack showing in it. Yet on the 101st blow, it splits in two. I know it was not the one blow that did it, but all that had gone before. Praise God. Amen. God responds to perpetual praying. Praise the Lord. When people pray like Elijah prayed when he knew it was the will of God to break that drought, and he sends his servant and says, you know, I don't see any result of your prayer. Go and look and see what you see. Go see what you see. Well, see what's changing. Nothing has changed. Praise God. He says, then go 7 times. In other words, don't just look once for the answer, and if it doesn't come, give up on prayer. Go again and again and again and again and again. Keep looking for the answer and keep praying for it. Friend, if it's in the will of God, there's a beautiful scripture in the book of Hebrews. It's in the 10th chapter. It begins in verse 32 where it says, after you were illuminated, after you come to Jesus, it's no bed of roses. After you were illuminated, it's worth it all. But I'm telling you, the devil is real. He will fight you. And after you were illuminated, you endured a great fight of afflictions. You know, the Old Testament spins off of that and it says many and instead of saying amen, I tell my congregation, say, tell me about it. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth them out of them all. The Lord delivereth him out of them all. Amen. After you were illuminated, you endured a great fight of afflictions. And it goes on to say that you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. I always put it this way, Lord, give me patience and hurry. And this patience involves persistence in prayer, because it goes on to say, cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. Hallelujah. Listen, faith is not sitting and waiting on God to just decide to do something. Faith is wrapping up our petitions in our faith and bringing it to God whom we trust, and standing perpetually in His presence, letting Him know that we believe He's listening and we believe that He honors that kind of praying. We pray without ceasing. Praise God. Hallelujah. And God never ceases to amaze and astound us with answers to prayer. Oh, I'd love to share some testimonies. Time doesn't permit that. Let me finish this scripture. Amen. We'll take time for that one of these days. Hallelujah. I love to brag on Jesus. Listen very carefully. Cast not away therefore your confidence. I want to read it in context. Amen. You have need of patience, that after you've done the will of God, you might receive the promise. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For he that shall come will come, and he will not tarry. Do you see that stone cutter pounding? Pounding that stone 100 times without a crack, and at 101, it cracks in two. That's the way prayer is supposed to be committed and offered unto God. We're not pounding God to try to get Him to come through. We are expressing a faith that says, I know God gave me the promise in His Word, and I know God to be the person that He is, a God of integrity, strength, and might, a God who says the things that are impossible with men are possible with God. Hallelujah. A God that we don't give up on, no matter what. Amen. I believe that the Holy Ghost Himself is calling the church, not just certain denominations, certain Christians. I'm talking about everyone that names the name of Jesus. I believe God is calling the church to perpetual praying. And I want to be part of those people who do it. And I want to be part of those people who encourage others. Because the more of us that commit together to pray for revival in America, to pray for our families, to pray for our nation, to pray for our churches. Somebody said, if you want a new pastor, start praying perpetually for the one that you have. Praise God. Hallelujah. Pray that God will stir him. Pray that God will inspire. Pray that God will ignite a fire in him if it isn't there already. And if it is there, really pray for him. Praise God. Amen. Because the devil would do anything to take that man out of a pulpit. I know. Because there's a fire in my heart right now, and the enemy never lets up. But friend, neither does God. Hallelujah. What a mighty God that we serve today. Don't be discouraged when you pray in faith and there seems to be no immediate results. No visible change. No initial evidence that God has heard you and will answer. Keep on praying and believing. Pray without ceasing. Remember, you will hear it in your spirit before you see it with your eyes. I'm going to say that again. You're going to hear it in your spirit before you see it with your eyes. Praise God. Amen. I'm going to try to define in these closing moments what it means to pray without ceasing. I think it means three things. First, it means that there's a spirit of dependence that should permeate all that we do. This very spirit in essence of prayer. Amen. So even when we are not speaking consciously to God, there's a deep abiding dependence on Him that's woven. See, that's that wrapped up, tangled up stuff. It's woven into the heart of faith. In a sense, we pray or have the spirit of prayer continuously. Second, I believe that is what Paul has in mind most immediately when he says pray without ceasing. It means praying repeatedly and often. I base this on the use of the word without ceasing. It's a Greek word, one word in Romans 1:9, where Paul said, "For God, whom I serve in my spirit in the preaching of the gospel of His Son, is my witness as to how unceasingly I make mention of you." Praise God. He mentioned them over and over, and He mentioned them often. And third, I think praying without ceasing means not giving up prayer. Don't ever come to a point in your life when you cease to pray at all. Don't abandon the God of hope and say there's no use praying. Go on praying. God will answer. Don't cease. God will come. Hallelujah. He that shall come will come, and He will not tarry. God has great plans for His people, His church, and His purposes for our generation. But we must pray, "Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done," without ceasing. Praise God. Amen. I'm going to ask you today, if you've stayed tuned to this point in this broadcast and you're listening right now, that you will pray, if you don't know Christ, the greatest prayer that could ever be prayed. Amen. That will qualify you to come into God's presence and qualify you for God to come to you right where you are right now. Would you ask Jesus to forgive your sin? Would you ask Jesus to come into your heart? Would you believe upon Him who suffered and died so that you could be saved? And you that are Christian today, that you would set yourself with me and millions of others around the world that are being called to pray just now, that we might see a great last day revival and harvest of souls for the kingdom of God. Well, we love you today. Be sure and come back next week. Let's talk about Jesus. Let's